Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Cawson, an iHeartRadio and People's Choice Award nominated podcast.
Oh, we got the nomination on there. What up?
Is that going to stay there for years to come in like 3 years? Nominated back in 2019 for...
the Wind Down. I mean, that would be nice if it said Wind Down winner.
That would be great.
Hey, speaking of Wind Down, we are doing a Wind Down tour, and we are going to Atlanta, Chicago, Michigan. I don't know why I always have to sing Michigan, because it's my hometown. Nashville.
Philly.
Maryland. A few other places.
Louisville.
So get your tickets, because we're going to sit down. So people keep kind of asking, like, what's this live podcast thing about? It's not really a live podcast. It's more like an evening with. So we're going to sit down. We're going to talk. We're going to play games. We're going to have fun. My girl Sarah's going to be there with us. And then we'll have some surprise guests along the way.
We interact. We answer questions. We ask questions. We bring people up on stage. Jana sings at the end of it all.
Yeah, I sing like a 45-minute hour set. It's just a lot of fun. So we really want you guys to wind down with us. Go to janakramer.com. Or Ticketmaster to get your tickets. And then we also sign too at the end of the show. So it's really fun. We get to meet all of you guys. And if you want to go to an actual live podcast, Ben and Ashley are actually doing one too. The Almost Famous Live. January 11th at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Fran. So get your tickets on Ticketmaster.com for the Almost Famous Live. So super fun. You know, it's starting to really take off, those events. Even I was talking to the Scrubbing In girls, because they're wanting to do that too. And I think it's really cool. I know Dak Shepherd's coming to Nashville soon, mm-hmm. which I want to check out.
We got
to
go scope out the competition.
I know. Well, I wonder, because I know it says live podcast, but we don't record ours, just because I feel like if it was recorded, then it was like people would be like, I'll just watch it on YouTube. Or listen to it in the car.
Yeah, because our outlook is people want to come see something that they can't get elsewhere.
Yeah.
So
that's why I'm just curious, like, are they all, when they say live podcast, is it actually, can you listen to it on the show?
I don't know.
Yeah. Do you know, Mark?
I think the Almost Famous will be a podcast you'll be able to download. I think it varies from show to show. But I think most of them like to do that. They like to kind of double up. You know, they did the show, and then they record the show, and then their podcast is done for that week.
And I can see the intrigue on that, too, for audience members. If they, you know, if the podcaster interacts with the audience like we do, and they get to go back and listen to themselves interact mm-hmm. at the, you know, evening with on the next week mm-hmm. during when it airs. But that's not what we do.
Well, if they want to see that, then they can go to Telly and download the Telly app, because that's kind of a little version of that. We have a show called Imperfect Harmony that we're doing too, so that's really fun. So just a lot's going on over here.
Thursday nights at 8 Central.
Look at that, babe.
You know.
So excited for the show today. We have Gabrielle Stone coming on, and I actually met her mom because she played my grandma in the Lifetime movie that's coming out November 17th, Dee Wallace's daughter. So she's got a book that's out called Eat, Pray, #FML. And the very crazy story, because I was talking to her mom, and I had no idea who Gabrielle was at the time. But then when she started talking about this guy that she dated, I was like, oh my gosh, is your daughter Gabrielle? Because I knew all about Gabrielle. Because the ex told me about her.
But you knew Gabrielle's name?
Yeah.
Interesting. But you didn't put two and two together?
I never put two and two together, ever. So it's just... It was like, so stay tuned to hear about that story.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Gabrielle's story is very interesting.
It is. So I'm excited to talk to her and sit down with her later and then drink a lot of wine tonight with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? So what's new in your world, Cawson?
Oh, man. We have a lot coming up the next couple months. Mm-hmm. So really everything I have going on, you have going on. Mm-hmm. This week we've been surviving without a nanny.
Yeah, that's been fun. But also I feel like it's doable too.
It is. I mean, you know, that sounds spoiled. We're fortunate enough to have a nanny that we love and that, you know, does a fantastic job. But I will say I'm impressed with how we've handled it this week, because there's been a lot, it takes a lot of communication, mm-hmm. right? To be on the same page. And I feel like any relationship, and us especially, you just kind of anticipate or expect the other one to know your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you put it in the calendar or whether you talked about it 2 weeks ago and expect the other person to remember.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've done a good job at staying on top of this week and expressing what we needed. Now, maybe we can carry that over into weeks that even when we do have the nanny,
right,
it'd probably be helpful.
Yeah, because I feel like there's a lot of times it's like, hey, I have this at 10 o'clock. I have a call. It's very important. Can you take the kids? And if not, because most of the time I would never say anything and then I would just get mad at you for being like, don't you know that I have this thing today at 10? So yeah. I would like unfairly get frustrated with you because I would figure that you either looked at the calendar or like that I had to work. So it's just, I think naming like what you have to do has been helpful.
For sure. And I appreciate you acknowledging that.
Which part?
The fact that you understand that you don't.
I have in the past, you mean, done that?
Always do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I definitely feel like I've gotten better at it. It's like ask for what you need. But the problem that I have a hard time with, because I remember talking to my therapist, she's like, ask for help. But I'm like, I have a really hard time with that because it's like, when if you ask for help, but then they don't really do it the right way or they don't do it. It's like, I don't want to have to ask you to do the kids' laundry. I don't want to ask you to clean up the stuff in the back. I don't want to have to ask you to do those things. But then it feels like when you're doing everything. So it's like, how do you, because I'm like, I would just think that you would help with those
things.
Right. And then we have our duties and you have yours and I have mine. But then it's just, you know. So that's where I have like a hard time. I have a tough time with that because I'm like, what's my role? And there's your role, but then also asking for help and like when to ask for help.
Well, and that's where I feel, you know, sometimes where you maybe you don't take something as your role. And I think we split things pretty evenly. Like it just kind of goes, we're like a seesaw, kind of goes back and forth. Because we both have done like everything
mm-hmm.
that is required
mm-hmm.
to whether the kids or dinner or stuff for us or whatever. We've both done those things. But I do feel like sometimes when you do something, maybe like even though you're doing it, your first thought might be, well, why am I doing this right now? Why didn't Mike do this? And I'm like, in my head, when I do something, I just kind of do it because it needs to get done. I don't necessarily think,
no, I'm not.
Well, Jana should be doing this right now.
And that's what you think I'm thinking in my head?
That's what I make up. I make up that because at times, not often, not always, not none of those pronouns. At times, you'll make a comment about laundry or something or whatever after you had just completed that task.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, I'm like, then the whole time you just sit there, anytime you do something, think, why didn't Mike do this already?
No, I don't think it. I can see how you think that. I don't do that. I just have a hard time with, you know, I wonder the timeline sometimes. I'm like, do you see the laundry filling up? I'm like, would you ever get it? You know, I talked to Leslie about this all the time. It's like, even her sons, it's like, they would probably buy new underwear before they ever clean their underwear. You know, it's just, and like the same with like Chris. I don't know if that's just like a dude. Mark, help me out here. Is that just a dude thing where you, I mean, I get about like roles and all those things, but is it just, what is it?
So the question is, would Mike notice the laundry piling up and just ever take it upon himself to do it?
Yeah, like, and just like, you know, there's.
Whose laundry?
Who's ever? I do your laundry. I do the kids' laundry, you know?
Right. And I've done them too. You happen to do it more.
And again, it's not even about you. It's like, I understand and I have no problem. Like I'm, you know, that's not a problem at all. I'm just curious. Like, okay, it could be like the dogs chewed up some stuff and it's on the floor. It's like, I've noticed it for 2 days or actually a week. It's like, when are you going to notice to pick that up? Why do I have to be the one to pick it up? Does that make more sense, Mark?
It does, yes. In my house, and maybe this is relatable, maybe it's not, everything's very structured. Like Monday is the day that my laundry is being done. Usually, Amy does that. If I'm home because it's a holiday or something, I have no problem putting my laundry in on a Monday and taking care of it. Tuesday, I believe, is her laundry. But I would never do that because I'm going to mess it up. There's no way I trust myself to properly do her laundry the way she would like it to be done. So I can do my own because I could care less how it gets put in the drawer. I just throw them in the drawer. I don't even fold. You know, she likes to fold the underwear. I'm not a fan of folding underwear. I don't get it. Anyway, the point is,
that's so
I'll
funny.
Do mine. I'm not doing hers. I'm not doing the kids because there's no way I'd do it right.
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing too, Mark. I'll do the kids' laundry and I'll fold it and put it somewhere, and Jana will be going through a drawer. But who put this in here? Who folded this like this?
And I'm like, not. I'm not even saying it's not even about laundry.
It's like a no good deed goes unpunished kind of a feel.
No, but I'm not even talking about that because I don't mind it, and I actually enjoy doing laundry. I do love doing laundry. I'm more just about like literally out back. There have the dogs chewed up some of Jolie's paint things, and it's probably been a little over a week. And I've noticed it every single day, and I'm like, okay, but it's like the backyard's his domain. I'm gonna let him take that. And
finally, the backyard my domain?
Because when we were in LA, our backyard was just so trashed, and I'm like, is this how it's gonna be at our house?
No.
And he's like, not at all. And so you love, you're like, I'm going to have it so nice and cleaned and like always organized. And I'm just wondering, like, from a guy's point of view, I've noticed the paint things that the dogs chewed underneath the table. And it's like, is it just on us to pick it up?
No.
And when is it going to get picked up? Because it's been sitting there for at least a week. And I'm like, finally today, I was like, I can't take it any longer. So I just start sweeping and I'm like getting the blower out. And
you
it's
know,
just
you
like.
You know what's funny about that?
What, honey?
Is.
Can we just acknowledge before you throw something at me?
Acknowledge what?
That you haven't picked it up.
Have you noticed, okay, had, Mike? That's the
have
question.
You noticed?
Have
yes,
you noticed
that's it? That's the point. Yes. It's not even that you didn't pick it up.
2 days ago, I noticed it.
Okay.
I noticed the dogs actively chewing something at night.
So it's been a 48-hour cold war over who's
going
to pick that
up. Yes, and I was just like, all right, well, I know we have friends coming in this weekend. I know, you know, that I'm going to do one big clean of the backyard or the back patio before we have a pool party on Saturday. So I was like, Friday, I'm going to knock it all out, or Thursday, I'm going to knock it all out, and I don't have to do it once. So I don't have to go out there, pick up these little pieces, and then we go play outside with the kids, and then I got to pick everything up all over again.
So you're answering my question. So you did see them?
Yeah, I did see them.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? I'll get those before Friday.
Hmm. Okay.
Because I saw it on Tuesday.
Okay. What about you, Mark? Like, when you see something, do you just walk past it?
My I'm going to try to be objective because it would be really easy for me to say, of course I do. I'm the greatest husband of all time. But I think my wife would answer that question and say that he does, but he doesn't notice things. If he notices, he will pick it up, but he also rarely notices anything. And that is accurate.
Like the boards, the baseboards, like we talked about before and stuff like that.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I would never notice that in a million years. Yesterday, I came home and Amy was painting the cabinets in the laundry room. And she's like, and it was done. I was like, and I wanted to support her because she spent hours on this. And I said, it looks fantastic. She goes, I know it's so much better than that other color, right? And I'm like, I have no idea what color that used to be, but it looks great now, and that's what matters.
So, would Amy...
I don't notice these things.
Does she fault you for not noticing?
I'm not faulting you.
I think she felt like I would appreciate it more if I had been annoyed by the color that she... The way she was annoyed by the color. I wasn't annoyed by the color. I could care less what the colors of the cabinets of her laundry room are.
See, I feel like I get faulted.
I'm not faulting you. I'm just really just trying to bring up a topic of discussion.
Okay, this is a great topic, though, because I do... ironically... I have something to bring to your attention.
Oh, okay.
So, last week, I had a poker night.
Okay.
Okay. You took a bath.
I did.
You had wine.
I was still drinking it.
There was a wine glass on the edge of our bathtub in between where the two towel racks are that I saw sitting there for a couple days. And I said, you know what? I'm going to leave that and see if Jana picks it up.
Oh, a little game.
After a few days, I said, you know what? I need to at least move this glass so someone's towel doesn't knock it and breaks and shatters all over our bathroom floor. So I moved it onto our counter.
I didn't notice that.
In the bathroom, in between our sinks. I left it there for another 2 days. Still did not move. So today, I finally said, that's enough. I'm just going to move the glass. I didn't say anything. I didn't bring it up. I just moved it. Put it in the sink and put water in it to clean.
I didn't even notice the glass.
Okay. And that's okay.
Yeah, I didn't notice it.
And that's okay.
I remember having it and I remember putting it there and I remember being too tired to go put it in the kitchen. And I totally forgot about it there.
Right. And so when I noticed two nights ago when I let the dogs out at night and they're chewing on paintbrushes, I said, you know what? I'm too tired to clean that up right now. I'm going to deal with it.
I get it.
Before the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
This really rings true with me because there is something of a double standard. Because, for example, I'll walk into the bathroom and Amy's left her like clothes from her workout on the floor of the bathroom. Underwear, whatever, all of it. Fine. I could care less. But if my underwear was 100%. In the bathroom all day long, I think there'd be a conversation. And I think this is what Mike is saying. The wine glass is there. He didn't leave it because it bothered him. He left it just because, hey, whatever. You know, let's see what happens. But he's not annoyed by it. But if he did it, if he left a beer glass on the bathtub for a week, I think you'd have a conversation with him.
You know what? I would. And it is a double standard. And it's because we don't do it as often, I think.
Okay.
I really, truly do. I think it's because we don't do it as often. And it's...
No, I think it's just like Mark said. We just don't care. Just like when you... Mm. Like, we'll go in phases, right? If we're traveling stuff, usually one person may clean up their stuff quicker than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone's bag might be laying there. And if Jana's bag is the one that's still laying there in the room, not emptied, she'll apologize like every day. I'm sorry, I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to clean it up. And I'm just like...
I do. I have a really... Like, if I leave it for literally one day, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I have to clean it up.
Yeah, and I'm just like, it's fine. Like, because I know you're going to. It doesn't matter when. I just know you're going to. But if I leave it there after 12 hours, we wake up the next morning, Jana's like, so we're just going to leave this here? All the time now? Does this live here? Oh, okay, so this is where your suitcase with clothing goes from now on. Got it. And I'm just like, it's been 12 hours. It's been one day, not even.
It's, again, I think it's just because normally, like, that one bag was left for, like, 3 weeks that one time. Oh, it's so funny. It truly is funny, though. It really is, like, a double standard.
Yeah, I appreciate you admitting that.
Yeah. I do. I can admit that. Full circle.
I feel like there's a lot of relationships out there that are like, yes.
Yep. You're right. Double standard. Okay.
The way I've always looked at it was like that, kind of like in basketball, like shot attempts versus baskets made. Because like Allison is just draining threes all day long in terms of keeping the house together. And I'm not even taking a shot, you know? And like, so when I do and I miss, then it's like a bigger deal because that was like my one chance to like keep this place clean. And I left my backpack on the floor again. I don't know. And I think that, you know, and I see there's an imbalance there in terms of like stuff being done around the house. And then I go into the whole, hey, well, I make all the money, and, you know.
That never works.
No, it does not. And it doesn't matter. It's our house, and we should both be working equally to keep maintain.
Is that what you say, Easton?
That's 100% what I say.
Oh my god, what does she do?
Well, she says that's true, but that's not fair for you to say, because it's not, you know. And that's a place that I like fall back to sometimes because I feel guilty about not doing more stuff around the house.
And that's what it is.
And that's me getting defensive and, you know, and being motivated by shame. But I see there's a problem. I'm working on it.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And I think there definitely is something to be said for that. And, you know, like in our relationship, I'm not the breadwinner. But at the same time, like, I can understand why in relationships, like, if I gave Jana all the time for stuff, whether around the house or anything else, it's like, well, I'm doing something here. You know, mm-hmm. I am doing something. I don't want to have to remind you, but I do pull weight. It may not look right. The same as you would like, but, you know, so I could definitely see how that would be aggravating.
I mean, you know, again, it should be equal no matter who's pulling.
Right. And we do. I honestly think for our position, job. We do a fantastic job.
Yeah,
at that.
We do. We do a great job. I mean, there's plenty of husbands that I know that don't do half as much as, you know, what we do together.
Right.
You do. So for sure. Mad props always for that. And I do. I mean, I know, Mark, that you say that you don't like the acknowledgement, but I do like, you know, because October is a giant month of travel and there's some things that I'm doing just for the paycheck. And you know, I hate to say that, but, you know, because I'd rather be home with the kids and traveling. It's right. just like to be away as much as I'm going to be in October. It's already like stressing me out. But I know that I have to go and I need to make the money and, you know, for the family. And Mike does a really good job of at least appreciating that and will text me and say, hey, I appreciate the hard work right now. And sometimes like that validation is like, okay, like, yeah, let's get on this plane. Let's do this. You know, so I don't know. Right. Like I do personally, I like that appreciation because I know mm-hmm. that like mm-hmm. he's not taking it for granted and he knows the sacrifice that I'm making because I don't want to be away from the kids ever. Which is why I'm trying to, you know, smuggle the kids into New York when we have a New York trip later in October. So, and he's like, well, I don't want to take him. And I'm like, I do. And I don't, I'm going to be gone so much this month. And so, but yeah, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that appreciation is important. I appreciate you acknowledging
that you appreciate
my appreciation.
I appreciate you.
Because I do try. I do try to make a conscious effort because I know your personality. I know you don't want to. Mm-hmm. And my personality, not that I want to be away from the kids more than you do, or I care less than you do, but my mindset, maybe this is just a male thing too. It's like, all right, this is my job. I got to get it done. I got to go. End of story. Where I feel maybe this could be a generalization. Women, maybe because of the motherly feeling, you're just like, no, I don't want to leave at all for any reason.
Yeah. I hate leaving.
Yeah. I know you do.
I hate it because then I'm like, my kids don't even know me. It's like, yeah. We just spent, I'm really like, I see them all the time, but it's just those 2-3-4 day trips that just kind of eat me up back to back. But it's all good. Okay, well, in other news, Sarah's here and also my friend Gabriella just pulled in too. So let's get them on the show. Okay, I'm really excited because
I know you are.
I know. So I had the pleasure of, I'm going to talk about you like you're not here right now.
Okay
cool.
I'll wait.
I had the pleasure of working with our next guest mom on Christmas in Louisiana, which is premiering November 17th. Don't laugh, Cruz.
I'm laughing at you at Christmas in Louisiana.
Jenna has to downplay everything she does.
I'm
she
like, can't just say, a movie?
I was on a Lifetime movie, yeah. Christmas in Louisiana. It was on a Lifetime movie.
Yeah,
I
don't
know. Christmas in Louisiana.
Lifetime is lit this time.
No, I love it. I don't know.
Especially
to, like,
Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like to, like, you know.
To your own horn. Okay, here we go. Jenna's in a movie that's coming out November 17th. Thanks. On Lifetime.
Called Christmas in Louisiana. Christmas Thank in you. Louisiana. With Dee Wallace. And I had the pleasure of working with her. And she kept telling me about her daughter and about her book. Because I was kind of sharing my story with your mom. And she was just like, oh my goodness. You know, you and my daughter, you guys have so much in common. And then I got your book. That second, I Amazoned it. And it was called Eat, Pray, #FML. And I was like, oh, she's already my best friend. Like, I love her. So everyone, welcome Gabrielle Stone to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love your book.
Thank you.
Because so I'm halfway through. I haven't finished it yet. But what I love about it, and this is what your mom told me too, was she was just like, you had offers to do a book deal with mm-hmm. other publishers. And you were like, no, like I'm doing it my way. And this is how I want to do it. And I yeah. love that because it shows too in the book, like your voice in the book is just like, this is it, you know, yeah. and you didn't like hold back on anything. I think maybe people would be like, well, maybe like go softer on this note. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of the bigger publishing places wanted to do is, well, mm-hmm. maybe we should tone it down. Maybe we don't write about like this bad situation. And that felt so inauthentic to me. And I knew that when all this stuff was happening to me, if I was going to share it with the world, it needed to be done in a vulnerable, true, authentic way. And the best way to do that was to just kind of keep control and do it by myself.
What inspired you to share it publicly?
So for a little backstory, yeah. I was married for almost 2 years, found out my husband was having an affair with a 19-year-old for 6 months, filed for divorce, left. Shortly after that, met a man, fell madly in love with each other, was like a whirlwind romance, and convinced me to go on a month-long trip to Italy with him. 48 hours before we were getting on a plane, he told me he needed to go by himself, and I was absolutely devastated, broke my heart like my ex-husband never could have done. And I was like, well, I have a decision to make, and that's either stay at home and be heartbroken or go travel Europe for a month by myself. And I was like, well, it, I'm gonna go. So to answer your question, I knew the second that happened and I decided I was gonna go by myself that I was gonna write about it. Because it felt like I was in a movie. I mean, my friends would call me and be like, what's going on this week in the Netflix episode that's Gabrielle's life? Like, it was ridiculous, one thing after another. And I knew that whatever I was going to learn at the end of this experience was going to be really powerful in a healing way. And I wanted to be able to share that with the women and men of the world. I've actually had a lot of men reach out to me after reading it, which has been really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What with your first marriage, you know, a lot of people have asked Jana and I, like, why do we stay?
Yeah.
Like, why were we willing to work on it? In your situation, how did you know, like, why'd you know I'm gone, period?
Yeah, which is so interesting because I've listened to this podcast with you guys talk and it's, I was so excited to kind of like compare everything because my situation was drastically different. My ex and I was not in love with him. I didn't realize that until I met the guy after that and was like, oh, this is what it's supposed to feel like. And I think I married him because he was safe. I come from a long line of like abandonment wounds. I lost my father when I was a little girl, and then I lost my boyfriend when I was in high school. And I think I married him because he was safe to me. So when I found out about the affair that had been going on for 6 months, and there, you know, I write about the main one, I'm pretty confident that there was other things going on.
Right. If there's one, there's usually,
The depth of it, like, I mean, second phone, hotel rooms under a different name, like the extent of it was so intense. I was just like, God, you must be exhausted, dude. Like, you should have just been like, yo, this isn't working. Like, let's get a divorce. I would have been like, okay, cool. Let's try and be friends. But the way he went about it was so dirty and deceitful. But to be brutally honest in that answer, it was a way out for me. Because I didn't know why I had been miserable for the last like 6, 7, 8 months until I found that out. But it was a way that I was like, oh, I'm okay, free. I'm done.
Yeah.
And it was just the disrespect level and the trust. I knew that there was no way to rebuild that for me and him personally, and I didn't want to.
Right.
I think if you want to and you love the person, that's obviously a vastly different situation. That was not the case for me. Mm-hmm. And I really count it as like a huge blessing. I'm like weirdly thankful to him because I can't imagine still being in that situation.
Well, I feel like a lot of people do that. I feel like so many people get married because they're like, okay, he's safe or she's safe, or like, we've been together so long, why not? Let's just get, you know, and it's like, what?
And it's like, oh, I'm 26 and then we'll be married for a couple of years and then I'll have babies. Yeah. And then, and now I'm like, oh my God, I'm only 30. Like what?
Yeah.
And do you think if he never had affairs or anything like that, do you think you would have ever reached a point where you're like, I can't do this?
I think I would have stayed a very long time trying to make it work because I even leaving with the cheating, I was feeling guilty because my mom had just given me this dream wedding. We had just gone on this amazing honeymoon. All of our friends and family came and like were so supportive, and it was this big spectacle. And all of a sudden it's just over that quickly. So I think I would have stayed a lot longer trying to make it work and been really unhappy doing so, until it ultimately just wasted a couple more years of my life. And then I eventually would have left.
I feel like I have to kind of retract something that I said, cause it's always kind of bothered me. Cause it was a headline that said, I didn't take the easy way out. And I think that's not a fair thing to say, cause sometimes it's harder to leave too. You know, sometimes it's the strongest thing to do is leave.
And I think it's dependent on the situation.
Yeah, I think it is completely dependent on the situation.
Sure. I agree. Yes.
But that always is kind of, it's like one of the things, like, she didn't take the easy way out. And I'm like, oh, that's, so that doesn't mean that everybody that leaves is taking the easy way out.
No, and
they're
like,
not. Because sometimes it's harder
to
leave.
It's hard
to walk
away. It's hard
away.
On both ends.
And I would say, like, honestly, sure, there are times when I'm like, it would have been harder for me to leave. They're both hard, but sometimes it is harder because of the logistics of the kids and like
starting over life.
I was so lucky that like we didn't own a house together. Mm. We didn't have children. I mean, I can't imagine that would have been a completely different decision-making process if other elements would have been included. I was really thankful.
Did he
want
to stay and work it out?
I don't think so, but I don't really know. I didn't really give the opportunity to like have that discussion. when he was on a business trip, when I found out everything, mm-hmm. he came home. I like had the papers handed to him when he got back to our house and had like a 15-minute conversation where he continued to lie to my face and was just like, okay, bye. And walked out the door and felt like a whole weight was lifted off me.
I can imagine. Like you were probably, like you said, you were like, oh, yeah, thank God.
Like not a bullet, like an army of snipers, like completely.
But then, so then how soon was it that you met your next dude?
Okay, so the next dude, we'll call him character name is Javier.
And by the way, love it. I know Javier. So that's another connection. And yeah. You know him because we're friends. You haven't met him, but I've talked about Javier before.
Wow. I know. And this is the only podcast that I've ever done where someone knows one of the main characters in my book.
Because your mom, her mom was talking about her life and I go, oh my God. I go, is it Javier? And she goes, oh my God. How do you know?
Yeah. That's
and I said, oh my God. I remember him saying he was going to take a girl to Italy.
Stop.
And
stop.
He decided.
So you like know this person.
Yeah. I've known him for 12 plus years.
Oh. Yeah. So when her and I connected and messaged each other on Instagram, I was like, I'm kind of not believing this whole situation. Yeah. She's like, I know.
Oh my. I know. So I was just like, yeah. So I was just like, I remember him vividly saying,
were you
shocked? He was going through some stuff. And, you know, he's like, and then he said that, you know, he just needed to not go with her. And then I'm like, and then I'm talking to your mom and I'm like, oh my God, like this is just like crazy. Because so I remember this conversation so vividly.
Why did he go by himself?
So his backstory is about a year and a half before we got together, he lost his brother. And it really, really affected him as, you know, mm-hmm. it would. And I think he stuffed down a lot of that grief. And
into
kind of,
suicide too, which is like a whole other way. Yeah.
And I think he kind of buried it and, you know, went and started working a lot and, you know, just kind of
tried to run from
it. Felt like he dealt with it, but didn't. And when we fell in love, I think that opened up a floodgate of just lots and lots of emotions.
Well, and he's never loved someone the way that he loved you.
Right.
Ever. Too. Like that was like, so I think that probably like scared the crap out of him.
I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I just got caught in the crossfire of it. Mm. But I have a lot of compassion and we're still friends and I care a lot about him. But it was a really difficult situation. I mean, he coming off of the divorce, it was like, I was fine. I know that sounds weird, but I was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm really happy that this happened the way that it did. Like I am going to go live this amazing life now. And it was the second situation with Javier that really like broke my heart. I know it's so funny, like having
code names.
We didn't actually meet for the first time. After I left the house, we reconnected 2 weeks, but granted this was like a month now that I had known about, you know, my ex and that I was going to get a divorce. He popped up on my Instagram page. I followed him. He messaged me. He was like, where have you been for the last 6 years? I was like, well, funny story. and we ended up going to like get lunch and go to the beach. And but before, like 6 years earlier, before I had met my ex-husband, we had casually gone out like twice. Mm-hmm. Like went dancing, made out. That was the extent of it. He was like the one person I had ever been like casual with and then was like, okay, bye. And like lost touch, went, got married, got divorced. so we went out this first night and it was just like an instant thing to the point where he was like, what are you doing on this date? I'm going to take you to a wedding. And like, well, you need to meet like my mother. Fast. And I was like, okay.
Let's do it.
But like it was both of us. Yeah. Like his friends, family, like it was like, this is the girl I'm going to be with. And everyone was like, how is this possible? His mom and I clicked like instantly. And it was just a month and a half of really intense connection before the trip fell apart. And keep in mind the whole book, so me finding out about the cheating, the divorce, me meeting Javier, us breaking up essentially, and going to Europe for a month, that all happened in like a 3.5 month period.
What? Wow.
Yeah. So it was very like really intense and in your face. There was no breath or break between any of these situations that was going on.
Has that been kind of something that you've done your whole life? Had like very fast moments of attraction and love and
not to that extent. I'm a serial monogamous. Like I'm not alone a lot. I do go from like one relationship to another, never as quick as it happened then. And it was never as instant and as intense as it was.
Well, that's probably why it was so, because you're like, this is, this is something I've never felt and done before.
Yeah, and it wasn't. And that, the feelings that I had with him made me realize that, like, oh, I was never, really in love with my ex-husband at all.
That's wild.
So it, I mean, it taught me a ton about myself, even before I left on that crazy trip.
So after Javier, what was it after that? Like, how did you get yourself back together? Like, what did you, find another relationship? Did you work on yourself? Like, what helped you?
So,
well, you left for Italy.
Yeah.
Did you go to Italy?
Well, so our original plan was to do all of Italy. Our tickets were booked to Rome. So his dad and him picked me up from the airport. I mean, from my house. We flew to London together.
You didn't. That's what that was my
sitting next to each other, hanging out. But you know what? Like, honestly, everything was weirdly normal. Like, we've always...
What? You weren't mad at him?
No, that's the weird thing. We were so connected on this, like, weird soul level that, like, the only thing that changed was that we weren't kissing and holding hands. I mean, he took the picture of me at the airport with my backpack on where I was like, peace out, guys. I'm divorced. Like, this is what's going on in my life. Bye. We hung out at the airport for like 3 hours, got on a plane, flew to London together. He then went on to Rome and I started my trip in London and like had nothing planned because I found out I was going by myself 2 days before this.
Did an ounce of you wish that he would like change his mind?
Well, we thought we had like discussed when we got on the plane, we were like, well, you know, our flights are booked home together. Maybe we'll meet up depending on like how you're feeling and like if my heart is not in a million pieces still. So the whole book, when I'm on the trip, it's this whole like, am I going to go see him? Am I not going to go see him? And it's this whole like roller coaster ride of like
torture.
Can't close the chapter, literally and figuratively. Right. So yeah, it was a lot to kind of navigate. But that trip, and I wrote the book on the trip. So I brought a journal with me. I started it the first day in London. And when you open the journal, it literally looks almost exactly like how the published book is. It's like chapter one. I wasn't like journaling and then made it into a book. I knew that this is what it was going to be. So writing about all of it on this journey that I was on, being alone, which was one of my biggest fears my entire life since my dad died, was like being okay by myself. And this was the universe way of being like, okay, well, we're going to go face that head on.
Yeah.
So it was really like therapy for me. But no, to answer your question, I didn't like jump back into another relationship. I was like trying to figure out if things were going to change with him or not, and knowing in my heart that I kind of like needed to be by myself and
like your
figure
subconscious
out
knew.
myself.
How old were you during this time?
I was 28.
So that's impressive, because that whole situation, the way you kind of handled it and him, seems very adult.
Very.
It really does.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like even in my 20s and even late 20s, it was just dramatic and, you know, big gestures and and everything.
Drama.
And, yeah, drama and just the fact that.
Big blow-up fights.
Right. And the fact that you were able to accept. He didn't say because he wanted to go with another woman. He, you know, you knew the reasons why, and you guys were still able to be adult about it, and you handled it the way you did. And even him, I think that's impressive.
I'd be like, come with me.
Yeah. And that's like normally, my younger self was very manipulative with men, not in like a scary way, if I wanted to get something, like I'd be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
And there wasn't ever a thought of like, well, maybe there's a way I can change his mind. I was like, no, this is like my journey that I'm supposed to be on. So if it wasn't for him making that decision, like I wouldn't have had this like life changing month long trip.
So
I never
true.
In a million years would have been like, let me go to Europe by myself.
No.
It was such an out of my comfort zone experience, like with a backpack, like not even luggage. It was very completely new for me. And I learned more about myself on that trip than I had
what did
in 28
you learn?
Years.
Yeah. What was the one thing that you were shocked to learn about yourself?
That I'm never really alone. And I'm always okay, because no matter who in my life may abandon me, I'll never abandon myself. And that was huge to like start those abandonment wounds to heal.
It's like crazy, because a lot of people have to do a lot of therapy and a lot of rehab to like get where you are. And I feel like that's like amazing that you could just go on a trip and really find that in yourself. Like,
yeah. I mean, and don't get me wrong. Like I've been in and out of therapy my whole life. I'm like an advocate of it. I think everybody should go, even if nothing's wrong, like
same.
Go talk about some stuff. but yeah, it really, I knew that I was going to like do some serious work on myself, and through writing the book, it really like brought so much out that I was surprised about that I could then look at and go back and heal on my own, which was huge for me.
Wow. Well, so the relationship now, what's different? Because you guys
with Javier.
No,
with
your
me.
Man now.
Oh. right.
Oh, him. I know I was going to ask him.
The one you're posting on Instagram.
The very handsome man that you are so in love with.
So we have had an interesting...
courtship?
Yeah, because we...
I'm showing you the picture.
Oh, okay. We actually met 10 years ago. He played my older brother in a film.
Love.
And perfect. But have always been kind of just like friends on social media and whatever. And
kind of like Javier.
Yeah, you know.
Interesting.
That's how they come back. he saw the picture I posted the day I left for Europe of me with my backpack, like explaining this whole cheating and divorce situation and like kind of airing all my stuff out. Mm-hmm. And he messaged me and was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I can't believe what I'm reading, blah, blah, blah. Like, when you get back, please let me know. Like, I'd love to take you to lunch. Not at all, mm-hmm. you know, like that. We had always like this very brother-sister feel to us, and we ended up like running into each other.
He's
not even
handsome.
I know, he's a good looking dude. Not even like planning it, running into each other when I came home, and I was like, yo, I'm not ready for a relationship. Like, don't even.
That's always
like,
how it is.
Big wall, like, and he
don't
was
come
like
barking up this tree.
He was like, okay, that's cool, I'll wait. And ended up, he was the first person to read the book, like before my mom.
Aww.
And so I remember, you know, 2 months in of us kind of like hanging out, but like not really.
Doing?
Yeah. And he was like, I've never had a roadmap of the girl I'm trying to court. And I'm literally reading all of this stuff about, and he was just like, first of all, I want to murder the two men in your life. And he's a really great guy and sees me for me. I've never been able to be more myself with someone. And he's okay with like me taking it day by day, like not having to have like a end game goal, and just kind of like being together and being in the moment. But he's definitely like one of my soul people. Mm. And I feel that way about Javier too. I think I don't really believe in soul mates as in like lovers.
You and my husband both.
but I believe in like soul people that come into your lives to, you know, drastically either teach you something or change or like be a catalyst for something that you're supposed to learn. And both of them, Javier and my current guy.
Shut up, Mike.
Oh, I love it.
No, no,
you're like, no, you're my soulmate.
Yeah. The one and only.
But both of them, Javier and my current guy, I met years before. Mm-hmm. So Javier and I had met 6 years before, and my current relationship and I had met 10 years before. So, and that's a testament to me to like soul people. It's like they come in and it's like, no, this isn't the right time.
But they come
and
back.
They come back so much later. And it's really, you know, to affect you. And I feel like there's, you know, not to get into the whole past lives thing, but I truly feel with certain people that I meet that like I've been with them in other places.
You are your mother's daughter.
I know, so like ridiculously. when she read the book, she called me and was like in tears. And she was like, I was talking to a bunch of my clients about like self-love and how to explain it clearly. And she's like, it's such a hard concept to really explain. And then I finished the couple of last pages of your book and it was right there in my daughter's work. And I was like, oh my God, Mom. I'm like, see, I actually learned something from you. It's a very like proud moment for her. So it was cool.
That's so sweet.
Wild.
Also, they made Eat, Pray, Love into a movie. So I don't see why they can't make Eat, Pray, #FML into a movie.
You know,
it would be really funny, but also like again, like healing and
And it's written kind of like a Netflix series. It's been in discussion that we're thinking of like a 10 episode type thing. Because it's written as a show, kind of like you feel like you're reading something you should be watching.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how I write. And
because that's what you're doing. You're a writer. You're an actress.
Yeah.
You're kind of like doing everything.
Yeah.
Wearing all the hats.
Yeah.
What do you want if you can do just like the one thing? You just want to act in your own thing that you write or?
No, I've directed 2 projects now and I really love that. Mm-hmm. I love having some control over what the finishing product is going to end up to. Because, you know, like, as an actress, you're like, great, I'm going to show up and do my work. But, like, God only knows what this is going to look like.
Yeah. Or why did they use that scene? Oh, because they needed, like, this thing to look like, but the acting isn't there.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So directing, it's really nice because you can, like, have some control over the product you're making. So I would love, if this went to series, to not play myself in it. I would love to direct it.
I know and someone produce, who could play you. So. Hello.
Yes.
Mike can be my Javier.
And then stop.
Oh, God.
I'll be your Javier. Just don't make me the first guy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
Okay. Okay.
We've come a long way over
Such
here.
A long way. I mean, come on.
No, I don't want to like go like somber because this has like been awesome. But with your dad, I mean, how have you been able to, you know, because girls, it's hard. I had daddy issues for a long time. He didn't die, but I felt like he kind of abandoned me. But with yours, it's like he passed. So it's how did you, because you never, you're not able to talk to him, or you can, but how am I trying to say it?
But not in the, there's no way to like get closure necessarily from him directly.
Mm-hmm. Or to have like some, like that father figure there. So do you feel like you were always trying to like search for that?
Oh, 100%. I mean, that's why I've always had men in my life, because I was trying to fill that hole that was left when he died. Mm-hmm. And it was not even just in relationships. Like, I never wanted to be alone. Like, even if it was like a roommate or my mom or my friends, it was me not being okay with myself. And it wasn't until I realized that I needed to go fix that before I could be in a space with someone else, in a relationship. So I think, you know, there's no like set answer as far as grief goes. Mm-hmm. It happened when I was 7.
Do you really
my dad.
Do you remember it?
I do. I remember it vividly. Mm-hmm. I write about it in the beginning of the book, how I was the one that found him. My mom was like off shooting in New Zealand and had to fly home. It was like really traumatic for a child.
Yeah.
So I do remember it, but I'm kind of thankful in the way that it didn't happen when I was old enough to have like serious emotions around it. Like if that would have happened when I was a teenager, like my mom lost her father when she was 16.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like that would have been harder for me to handle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So while it did implement certain abandonment issues in my life, it wasn't the hardest emotional thing to get over. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it's sad and I feel it and I cry and I had years, time really does heal a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's about finding what those wounds trigger in yourself, like as an adult. And being able to kind of like peel the layers back and see what's at the root of it and then start working on that part.
So where can our listeners, Instagram, all of it, Eat Pray, hashtag FML.
Yeah.
I Amazon Primed it. So
So it's it's exclusively on Amazon. It's in paperback and ebook. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this yet, but oh well. I just signed an audiobook deal for it.
Oh, love that.
Awesome. So, is it you reading it? Like, oh, that's so cool. I love when people do that.
So cool. And you can download Audible to hear that.
Yeah.
It's a great
That won't be out till like later this year. But yeah, it's on Amazon for paperback and ebook. Mm-hmm. And I'm at Gabrielle Stone. The book's at Eat Pray FML. And whenever people read and send me messages and stuff, I love to repost it. I love hearing all the feedback from people. It's been really, really rewarding to hear how it's starting to resonate with.
Oh, I feel like that's everything that you're writing about is so relatable. Like, that's what's crazy is that whether people know it or not, it's like, you said, I feel
we all have to find ourselves.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, whether you've been in a bad relationship or whatever you're going through, it's all about finding yourself.
Yeah.
In the journey. So I love
you. It's not just like a self-help book either. It's like fun and you'll laugh and maybe cry and get a lot of shit out of it.
Favorite place in Italy you went? Last question.
Oh, God. Well, I went everywhere. I didn't just do Italy, which was the one silver lining of not going with Javier was I got to see a lot more. My favorite place, though, was probably Barcelona.
Ooh.
Yeah. I met some incredible people there, but it like my heart like really felt at home there. And I loved Amsterdam, too.
Mm.
I think it gets a bad rap because everyone's like, you can go and smoke a joint. And it's the canals and
you
the
do
architecture.
That here in California. Yeah. Yeah.
Why go across the world?
True.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. The
I've
architecture
heard it's amazing.
Is amazing. And the people there are so, so sweet. So, yeah.
I love it. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Beth.
You're so welcome.
We're doing dinner tonight, right?
Yes, we are.
Sweet. Okay.
You go for lunch.
Isn't she so sweet?
She's a chip off the old block. Even from the small interactions I had with her mom, Dee, on the movie set, she's definitely a chip off the old block. But she was fantastic.
I knew she was a Scorpio. I knew it.
Sarah.
No, I didn't.
Sarah started grilling her. When's your birthday?
I just knew. I could just tell by like the way she was talking about like her relationships and her. I just knew.
You know, I would have loved to have just quizzed you on that since you think you're the guru.
I love
on her. On the topic of, I've been very interested in like trips to find yourself.
Samesies, and I'm jealous of, why are you laughing?
I love samesies. I think that's fantastic.
Wait, but like by yourself or together?
By yourself.
By yourself.
I know, see, don't you feel like sometimes you kind of just miss the boat?
Because I might go to do Kilimanjaro next summer.
Alone?
What?
Not by myself.
Oh, hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. Friends. Is this the first world? Okay.
You've never said anything to me about this.
It was literally just the other day. Oh. We just haven't talked about it yet. But the topic about the trip, I'm thinking about it. It just came up.
Where's Kilimanjaro? What? Don't look at me like that. Sarah, do you know? Sarah, do you know?
Why did I just
wait, time out. Sarah,
isn't it in Africa?
I think it's, I've confirmed it's in Africa.
Yeah, but I have a friend who did it.
Oh, well, but either way, you're going to have to get some shots.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you have to do like training, I believe.
Wait, what is Kilimanjaro? Is it like a mountain?
A mountain. It's not like Everest, but it's like that.
It starts with Kilimanjaro.
Okay. Kilimanjaro. No, I have a girlfriend, I'm pretty sure, who did it, and they had to do like training, like hiking, breathing, all that.
I mean, you gotta be in shape.
But I swear I think she had to do like special. Oh, whatever.
No.
Wait, time out. When, where, what, how, what?
Bucket list.
Like bringing it up on here. I got defense.
Do you?
I got witnesses.
Of what? I'm just curious. Like, who's the conversation with?
Jason.
Jason who?
Jason, my best friend Jason.
Oh, that Jason.
Yeah.
Okay.
Him, I don't know if we...
His brother, his other buddy, Callum from... What?
So you're going to climb...
It's in Tanzania.
You're going to fly to Tanzania and climb Mount Kilimanjaro. It's the tallest mountain in Africa.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing, it's one of these things where...
Did you tell him you're already going to go? This is Mike. He already tells people he goes, and then I'm like, okay, show me your phone, let me see.
Well,
I would love to, like, let's do it. Let's
go. Well, yeah, I'm like, I'm all about it. I'd love to. Let's get some more information. So then I get information, then I bring it to you. I don't want to be like, hey, I want to hike Kilimanjaro one day. And you'd be like, okay.
You just did that, though.
Anything else?
Thank you.
On the topic of today, that's why.
Of doing life trips.
But... You know, I saw this thing. It was, I think it was the NFL Awards Honors last year. And Chris Long, who's with the Eagles, and I think he's retired now, he did a mission like every year to Mount Kilimanjaro with a bunch of NFL guys that would go and hike it. And just the whole video like behind it and just what these guys experienced like when they did it and got to the top and took the picture. It was just something like ever since like last summer when the NFL Awards Honor Show was on, I was like, man, that would be really cool. And the fact that Jason just texted me like a few days ago about it, it just kind of re-triggered that mindset. I was like, man, that would just be something. I've never done anything for myself like that. It'd just be something I'd want to talk about.
Would you do it by yourself?
What do you mean by myself?
Would you go by yourself?
I think they have like guides and stuff.
No. I'm saying like, would you go on that trip solo?
Are you going to Tanzania? Like
purely by myself?
Yeah. Like, cause like, which Gabrielle did, like she went to a foreign country by herself. Cause that a lot of people say that to really soul seek
solo
is solo because that's you're alone in your thoughts. You're alone in, in those moments. Right. You're alone in the darkness. You're alone in all those things.
Two things. First thing is traveling around by yourself is one thing. Hiking,
you can have a guide.
Doing hiking and doing something like that, you're still with a
group.
He's
in like a group.
You need a base camp. You need like you have a guide. You have people around you. Like, and you're still walk. You're not talking the whole time you're walking up because you're sitting there. You don't want
to
exert energy.
You don't have to defend it. I'm just like asking. Like,
no, I'm just explaining why I would not just go by myself. Okay. Because it's still hiking. It's a physical activity that could be dangerous that I would want people I trust around me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't want to be like, hey, me and this tour guide who I don't know who maybe barely speaks English. What if something happens to me?
For sure. Yeah, I just, because when you say like going on a soul search thing, to me, like I think people have those aha moments and those things like when they're doing things by themselves.
For sure, but I think it's also, for me, it's not even necessarily soul searching because I know who I am nowadays, but it's more of a soul cleansing. It's like just something just to like bring you back to neutral, to appreciate the things around you, reset your system, to get out of all the LA and travel and everything that we do. And it's just, because it's still just me and my thoughts hiking up this mountain, accomplishing something.
For sure. Sounds hard.
So. See, I would always love to do a trip. I just don't think
I couldn't be alone.
I couldn't do it.
I know
but I think I would thrive. I think I'd be a better version of myself if I went solo.
I agree. I couldn't.
I could. I would come back being like, I am the independent. I'm the I freaking did it.
Because and you would I feel so proud of you. I would feel the
I'd
same.
I'd feel so proud of myself.
I agree.
Like, I could like cry.
No, my girlfriend just did it. She went to South America, traveled for like a year by herself, came home thriving. Now this bitch is moving to Bali. Like she's killing the game. And I'm like, wow. Three years ago.
I'm envious of people like
that. No, 3 years ago, she was in a 5-year relationship. Like she was in it. And it's just like, but it's also just like, where do you know,
yeah.
It's different lanes. And I couldn't. I think it's cool, but I couldn't.
I'd rather go to like a ranch or a spa and find myself there with some meditation.
She's like, come visit me. I'm like, let me know when you hit the Ritz-Carlton and I'll hit you there. No, but I know.
Mark, could you do it?
You know, I've done a little traveling by myself only because of work. And for a while, there was a phase there when Seacrest would go someplace, I'd have to go with him, and then he'd be busy, and I got 5 days in New York pretty much. And so there's a little bit of that, but I don't ever see myself purposely going to a different country. I think I would be very, very lonely.
I think I would have a better chance of like, if I went somewhere in the States for 3 months, I could probably do that. Like I could go live in like somewhere random but leaving the country is a whole nother.
See, that's where I would differ. To me, that would do nothing. Then I would be lonely and bored.
No.
And if you go to somewhere you've never experienced, like a new country that has things that are centuries older than our country does, it's like that's something that would get my juices flowing, and like this is something I've never experienced. See, if I go to Des Moines, Iowa for 3 months, I'm soul searching right now.
I would go to like Montana or like Wyoming or Colorado. Like I could go do something like that for 3 months and just be like, you know, no. So, but I couldn't
3 months
or a month or two, whatever.
Like 5 days.
Oh no! Like I'm saying, I could go for like a month or two.
Oh really?
But I couldn't go leave the country. I'm way too scared.
I'm with you on that. I'm like, I wouldn't go like. I would.
It would have to be something.
It has to be somewhere far. But at the same time, I think about the kids, and I'm like, I could never leave my kids.
Oh no, not now.
To go find myself.
That's a weird thing. When I was in London for 3.5 weeks for the Olympics, and in Rio for 3.5 weeks for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And when I would think about my kids, I would get this physical
pain
in the pit of my stomach. And it was amazing how I could actually feel physical pain. I missed them so much.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel like when you do that, you have to be like her, like no husband, no kids, like. Out here doing it
to do all that, I mean that to the point.
To do like the
my friend that texted me about going, he lives in. We grew up and we went to high school together. He's my best friend growing up. He moved to London or to England for medical school. Hasn't come back after college. He fell in love with it over there. Has an accent, and everything now because he's been there forever.
Which, by the way, I'm like, same. You're American.
But I can see,
I have a British accent.
But I can see how if you spend like a decade over there, you're gonna start naturally kind of talking that way. But
so
he goes,
are we just talk like this because we're like moving to Nashville and we live here
but things like that'll start coming out.
No, look at Schwarzenegger; he's been here 30 years and he still sounds like he just got here from Austria. That's you never know. Sure. Everybody's different, I guess.
But he goes when he just has a few days, he'll go to another country like that by himself.
Yeah, that's home.
He'll have nothing. Plan. And so that part of me too feels comfortable going with someone who travels all of the time, who does this by themselves.
You know how I feel about him though.
Oh,
he's mean to you. I don't like how he jokes.
Mean
I get
to you?
He's very mean to him, and it makes me it really bothers me. Because I ride or die
for my man. But
he puts
how is
him
someone...
down 24. Every time I've been around
so
him,
it's like
he puts him down. I'm like, how are you going to go find yours? Like, here's the thing. If you said somebody else, I'd be like, go. But my hesitation with it is I don't want you to go to have this thing. And he's going to put you down the entire time you're walking up a mountain. Because I'd want to fucking punt him off the mountain.
Oh, wait. How
if
does
he says
he
something
put you
to you. Like, he's just like, he's like, oh, like, he's just mean. And it's like, that's their way of joking. But I'm like, that's not nice.
Like, maybe unhappy.
Well, I think there's other things going there that I'll say off the record, but yeah, that's my thing.
Do you think he's mean to you?
No.
Okay.
It's our relationship. We've always just ragged on each other. It's one of those things we could go without talking for a year, and then, the first thing we do is bust each other's balls.
But I'm like, you want someone busting your balls
and
you go
climb up. And it's one of those things because we don't talk, because we live in separate countries, we don't talk as much because we have opposite hours, but when we do get past and we do talk for a while, we get past all that initial like jabbing back and forth.
What does he mean to you? He's never once asked me a question. Not Ooh. Once. That's how, another reason why
many,
I like him.
And how many times have...
Have I asked him questions? When he came to our house, I was asking him questions. I mean,
have we seen
him? Oh, this man was in
It doesn't home? Matter, but he's been in my house and he's never asked me... He's not once asked me a question. Not one time.
How long have you known him?
His entire life.
Oh, so he's one of...
I love that one. She said two words and you finished the whole sentence and he goes, that's not what I was going to say. You had the whole question read and the answer before. He was like, that's not where I was going.
But in our house, okay, he was at our house and he still didn't ask me a question.
I'm sorry, he was in your house and he didn't speak.
His brother talked to me more than he talked to me. So again, he's mean to you and he doesn't ask any questions and he doesn't care to get to know me. So yeah. I have a little, I'm not a big fan.
That's not great. I can justify not the great. Ball busting. That is just the relationship some guys mm-hmm. have with each other. I've had guys like that. That is the relationship right. is how can I bust this guy's ball or even physically hurt each yeah. other. Mm-hmm. Right. Physically kick each other in the butt or whatever it is. But the not asking questions, that's a bit of a red flag.
Yeah. Maybe he's scared of you.
No, I think he loves Michael. I'm just saying. I think Mark just fell off his chair.
I'm not going anywhere near that.
I think Mark literally...
Oh, the pause was so beautiful. The silence. I've never enjoyed silence more on a podcast than right there.
Well, I guess we're going to find out in Tanzania.
He's going to go find himself and say, you know, he's going to be like, drop your pants. I wouldn't even be upset if Mike came back gay with him. I just wouldn't.
I am not saying a word. And the interweb is going to have a field day with this. I'm crying.
No comment, Mike?
Mike? Mike. I need a sip.
Honestly, here's the thing. We thought...
No, there's.
You're lying.
Even.
There's no thought.
Even me and his brother had conversations on whether his older brother, who him and I are really tight too, about whether or not he may be
sure.
like men, which is obviously fine either way. But.
It makes sense why he doesn't like me. I'm just saying.
You like heard the swallow. It's so quiet. We just heard Sarah swallow.
But my thing is, after even talking to some people about it, even like my therapist about it, in talking to my friend himself more, not bringing it up, is like, to me, what I've kind of opened my eyes to is it's about his priorities in life. My priorities in life have been to have a family, have a wife, have kids. He's that person. With his free time, he wants to experience the world.
How do we get on this?
That is what is important to him. So, because I don't think he actually is. That's my point, is just because he doesn't have a relationship or doesn't
I don't think that makes...
All I'm saying is that's why I don't think he is.
But her point is that if he did have a crush on you, that would explain some of this behavior.
It would explain why he's not nice.
I wasn't going to say that, but I was going to say sometimes, like, maybe when it's a friend from the beginning, like, he just ride or dies so hard for Mike that he's probably just like, F this beat. You know what I mean? Like, not in that way.
But to that point, too, when we were in London, when you were playing at the O2 Arena...
Sick.
And I went and...
It was a side stage. It wasn't that big of a
deal. Either way, she's still playing O2 Arena. That's a big deal. Me and my buddy, you know, he lives in England, so we went out and walked around and stuff like that. And because he has been my boy since like day one, he had a little bit about that. But that was when we were... Jan and I were like
in
the
trenches.
That's what
I was going to say. I could feel like, you know, he's like, obviously taking your side and he's obviously...
We were in the... And he was just like,
but what did I do to not have him like me? That's not fair.
It's not about that. It's not.
Yeah, I think
it's not about that.
I could see that.
It's about seeing your friend, irregardless to everything else going on, seeing your friend in pain, seeing your friend do something.
But what about when he came to our house with his
and
family, and his mom and brother?
Agreed. Like at a certain age, you're a grown man, put it away. But I feel like
if I hurt him, but I didn't hurt him. So like
maybe he thinks he did.
Well, love to know the stories.
That's what I'm. You know what I mean? Like you never
you
know.
Told him.
No, not okay. No, not you. But do you know? Like sometimes our friend, like regardless of what, like your friend's gonna you know, have your back.
I think it's if I were the one that did the wrongdoing, then yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah.
But not if I didn't do the wrongdoing. And hi, you just came to my house and we have another kid in here. And like, you know, like be more friendly. And
no,
say hi and ask one question. Not where is the bathroom? You know what I mean? So, anyways. Huh.
Well, I don't think we have time for emails.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
That took a turn. So anyways, I'll report next year from the top of Kilimanjaro. Oh, Easton, good. You're coming with.
I just looked it up. It says you need 5 to 9 days.
Dr. Romney was in Johannesburg. You can be in Kilimanjaro. We'll Skype you down there.
Why don't you like start with like Machu Picchu? Isn't that a little easier?
All or nothing.
Oh, okay. All right.
If it's something you really want to do, well, obviously we'll chat about it. Look at the calendar, you know? All right. Well, this has been fun. But one down later.